Progressive presents Forest Metaphors, about bundling your home and auto.
In sports, three goals is a hat trick. And when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, you get a hat trick of great savings and round-the-clock protection. So you might be thinking, wait, that's two things. A hat trick is three. But in this metaphor, great savings counts as two goals, and so does round-the-clock protection. So it's like four goals, and that's more than three. It's basic math.
Forced Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 7:07, and you're starting your Wednesday with O'Connor and Company. Thanks for doing so. I'm Larry O'Connor. Mercedes Schlapp is with us all morning long as well, right back from CPAC Israel. Mercy, thank you for joining us this morning.
Shalom, Larry. Shalom.
Oh, look at you.
It's great to be back. We had the most amazing trip. We got to take the five kids with us, and even Grandma Sue got to go. And I think it was a life-changing experience. I got to tell you, I haven't been to Israel, go, go, go.
I can't wait to go.
Beautiful.
I've been putting
country.
It off too long. We will. We will. 7:35, we're going to speak with Robert Ault. He is the attorney representing Eric Flannery, who we'll also speak with. They're of the big board D.C. restaurant, still getting harassed by our government here. And then at 8:35, the one and only Molly Hemingway will join us from Federalist and Fox News. Joining us right now, I'll throw a one and only in there for him, too. He's Mark Morano, ClimateDepot.com. By the way, his latest book, The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. And boy, we're seeing that play out right before our eyes. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Larry. Happy to be here today. Hi, Mercedes.
Listen, one concern that I raised during the COVID-19 lockdown and the whole, we got to defer to the experts and listen to the experts, and they'll say, oh, this is existential. We have to do all these extraordinary things because of the real dangers. And I kept hearing in the back of my head, if they can make the case for these extraordinary, unconstitutional actions in light of the pandemic, in light of the virus, they'll use this exact same playbook because they'll claim we're facing an existential end-of-the-world threat with climate change. And, Mark, it seems like that's where they're headed right now.
Well, we are literally at the repeat of COVID right now, with Joe Biden, according to the Washington Post and multiple other sources, mulling the declaration of a national climate emergency. If you go back to March 13th, 2020, President Trump, declared the national COVID emergency, the public health emergency, which then allowed every governor, blue state governor, mayor, to become virtual dictators overnight with vax mandates and mask mandates and stay-at-home orders and church closures and and curfews and canceling of weddings and funerals. Mm. What Joe Biden is going to do is going to give him 130 executive powers on climate that will bypass democracy in Congress and literally give them that same model going forward, to the point where they could eventually, mayors could ban cars and cities. You could close gas stations. You could have thermostat regulations on air conditioning. This is where they want to head. They don't want to deal with democracy.
Yeah.
The climate activists were jealous at these COVID lockdowns, and this is their version of a climate lockdown.
So I got to ask you, because talking about dictators, Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, he's basically saying that they're going to move ahead on these fertilizer reductions. And a lot of these provinces, they're basically very disappointed because there's this lack of flexibility or consultation. The whole goal is again, Trudeau's obsession with climate change. And this is in their effort to curb emissions. But I got to ask you, though, I mean, up to what point, knowing where we are right now with food shortages, with what's happening in Ukraine in terms of the grain exports, all of this is having huge impacts on food getting to these different countries. I mean, what is Trudeau thinking?
I mean, Trudeau, as far as I can tell, looked at Sri Lanka, which literally overthrew their government trying to go organic, looking at the Netherlands and said, hey, we need that in Canada.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, this is the bottom line is they know the voters aren't going to vote for curbs on meat eating. They know the voters aren't going to eat insects voluntarily. So if you collapse your current farming, and that's what they're doing in the Netherlands, that's what they did in Sri Lanka, that's what they're doing now in several other European countries, all based on the climate agenda, net zero, this is how you get the public to go against their will, because they're going to be forced. When meat prices skyrocket, when food prices skyrocket, they're going to be forced to start. And they're very clear where they want us to go, including Trudeau. They want us eating lab-grown meat. This is what Bill Gates, America's largest single farmland owner, wants. This is what Al Gore is pushing. They want us eating insects. This is what the World Economic Forum, this is what the UN has touted. And so one of the ways to do it is you make a chaos out of your current farming system. And it's all under the guise of the climate agenda. And Trudeau loves this because it also gives them an opportunity to be the strong man. You mentioned authoritarian or dictator. He can then crush them, and he protests the way he did the freedom convoy against the COVID mandates.
Well, and you're exactly. We're seeing this play out here. And if you could, Mark, hopefully dwell a little bit more on this, because sadly we have not paid as much attention here, at least on the program, with what's going on in Amsterdam. Believe it or not, we don't focus a lot here on our morning program in Washington, D.C. on farm policies in the Netherlands. But the farmers, this uprising, they've had their own convoy, and it all comes back to these big government policies about farming and agriculture that supposedly is linked to carbon emissions. Is that right?
Yeah, well, they're going after fertilizer now. So it's nitrogen, which produces nitric oxide, and they're claiming that's a more potent greenhouse gas, and we have to get it. And, of course, science isn't even supporting that. And they've used these kind of fertilizers for decades and centuries, and this is what brought us the high-yield agriculture. If you remember back in the 1960s, we were Paul Ehrlich, the population bomb. They were predicting famines and mass death. Well, guess what? Modern agriculture saved the food supply and that supply. So now the climate agenda is going after it. And so what's happening in the Netherlands is, and it's going to hurt. Who's it going to hurt first? Family-run, small, generational-owned farms. What's going to happen to them? They're going to go bankrupt, and they're going to be replaced probably by equity asset firms. Who knows? China, Bill Gates, the leader of the Netherlands, is a World Economic Forum devotee. He was trained by the World Economic Forum, so he's got that globalist agenda. They're looking at this from a climate agenda as they crush the small independent farmers. Think of the lockdowns, what they did to restaurants. They were estimated 60% of small mom-and-pop restaurants in New York City and other major cities went bankrupt. When you collapse the small businesses, then the people who are left are usually bigger, corporate, and they're more willing to go along with your agenda. It's the small ones, and that's why, of course, the protests, that's what happened in Canada with the truckers, that's what's happening in Europe. This is the blue collar, this is the working class protesting these policies, and the politicians are doing everything they can to crush them right now.
Mm. Okay, so Mark, normally you get these protesters that come from across the country, they go to the Hill, they make their statement. Well, in this case, we've seen 6 congressional staffers. Now they've become the protesters, which is kind of crazy. I don't think I've seen that in my lifetime. I mean, don't you think as congressional staffers, they'd have some say, but they did a sit-in at the office of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer demanding legislative action on climate change. I got to say, knowing that there's been this tension between Joe Manchin and Schumer, where Joe Manchin is really pushing back, saying we don't need these climate change subsidies, I think that the Democrats have really, they're just stuck. They can't seem to move their climate change legislation. Where do you think this falls? I mean, obviously, there is such a big chance that the Republicans take over the House and the Senate. But do you think the Democrats can resolve this gridlock and get some climate change legislation done in this cycle?
I don't think so. And thanks to Senator Manchin. Now, I was a former congressional staffer. I worked in the U.S. Senate for years. And this is a big deal. I mean, they're going down there, they're getting arrested, they're protesting. This is against decorum, it's against their own party. So this never happened when I was there during the Bush and Obama administration. But here's the thing. I think since Al Gore's first movie, the whole climate agenda has changed radically. Al Gore, you can look back, was actually a rather quaint figure. He talked about polar bears and sea level. Now the whole climate movement is talking about white supremacy causing global warming. They're talking about solutions like defunding the police or abolishing the police. They're saying you can see how climate change is doing by whether your sriracha sauce is plentiful at the grocery store. They've gone wacky. They're now blaming Senator Manchin. These Senate staffers and congressional staffers are hearing climate activists blame Senator Manchin for altering the geologic record of the Earth because he opposed a run-of-the-mill climate pork barrel spending bill in Washington. That's how nuts they've gotten. So I think some of these staffers are just drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, is all I can think of, because it didn't happen in the old days in the Senate, in the House.
Mark Morano, ClimateDepot.com. The book, The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Scary stuff. We're glad you're on top of it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Mercedes.
You bet. It's 7:16, so we better get straight to